Listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, December 4th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna cheese, shawa, tuexik nusum, salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, it's our Gallery Walk preview show. Gallery Walk is the biggest First Friday event of the year, an annual holiday celebration of the arts and more. We start with Southeast Alaska Land Trust and their pop-up art show of paintings of their conservation properties here in Juneau. Then we chat with artists from a group show opening up at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council will stop by and give us an overview of all the Gallery Walk goodness. And we chat with Juneau Artist Gallery featured artist Rachel Levy. Those conversations this hour on Juneau Afternoon.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha an I kak, gun il cheesh.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Going out in the storm, but if you really hold. Yes, the weather outside is frightful, but Gallery Walk is happening this Friday, and today's show is going to be all about that. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Southeast Alaska Land Trust preserves and helps valuable properties and habitats around Southeast. And this week, as part of Gallery Walk, they are hosting a variety of artists and paintings that depict conservation properties in and around Juneau. And I am joined now by Matt Robus and Beth Pendleton, board members for the Land Trust. Gunath Cheesh, Ha Ye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasiati, how's it going today?
Very well in Boston. Thanks for having
us. Nice to see you, Matt. How are you, Beth?
Great. It's good to be here.
Awesome. It's so nice to have you both here. So, well, let's start with you, Beth, in terms of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. We always hear these words. They're nice and big words. But what does it mean? What is the Land Trust?
Okay. Well, we've been in existence for about 30 years. And we conserve the region's important lands that have natural habitats. They're great recreation areas, open spaces, and some of them have some historic value. We have about 40 properties, most of those in Juneau, but they span from Ketchikan up to Haines and places in between. And we are a very active organization in the community, and we also do a lot of active outreach. We do a big wetlands cleanup in the spring, and then we have other activities where the public can engage with the trust board members and our staff and get out there on some of these unique properties, help clean them up, help steward them maybe by doing some habitat investigation, what kinds of plants are out there, looking for invasives and those kinds of things. So we really like the part about getting with the public, and so we do sponsor many activities during the year, and this one coming up, our Gallery Walk, is one of our big events.
Yeah, that's really cool. And how do you decide which lands to preserve or conserve, or how do you choose?
That's a great question, and that's something that the board is has been working on and continues to work on. But we look for properties that have important habitat values, maybe for wildlife, maybe for fish, migratory birds. If you look at the properties around the Mendenhall Wetlands, there's a number of properties there that the land trust has either under conservation easement or we outright own to make for a large contiguous area of important habitat for migratory birds, for fish, and other critters. So we have some criteria that we look at. They need to be important for wildlife. Wetlands Habitat is always very important. Areas that have good recreation values, maybe for fishing, and provide some public access. So those are the kinds of things that we look at in the properties that we conserve.
I see. And I know that on the website, it talks a little bit about also working in terms of development in that way. Is there anything that, I mean, I know, is part of the preservation and conservation to make sure that it doesn't get overdeveloped, to keep it natural?
Yeah, that is a key focus, is to keep these land areas, these habitats, highly functional, whether it's for fish or for wildlife or for public access. So we do look for properties sometimes that are contiguous with other protected lands. Maybe the City and Borough of Juneau has some protected lands, or the Forest Service. So we look for that continuum of lands to conserve those. But as I mentioned, public access is important. We want the public out on these lands. We want them to develop an appreciation for natural habitats and for protecting important land.
And you mentioned, you mentioned local government, which I did want to ask about. How does the Southeast Alaska Land Trust sort of interface with the local, state, and federal government in terms of, because they own a lot of land as well. And so how do you all interface together?
Yeah, we have a number of conservation easements on city and borough property, so they're protected for certain values that I mentioned, whether it's recreation access or important areas for fish or wildlife habitat. So we do work. We work with the city and borough. We also work with collaborators such as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They have a very important coastal program, and they provide annual grants, and so we work closely with them to provide the funds for these acquisitions. In addition to holding the land, so a big part of our focus is stewardship. Mm. And we actually have a stewardship coordinator on staff, Dan Heisel, and he works with a number of volunteers in the community, volunteer stewards, who get out there and help with cleanup on the properties. They help with doing inventory of the habitat out there, as well as the fish and wildlife, and also look for opportunities for some limited maybe development of a trail so that the public can access these properties.
I like that it keeps it sort of local, that there's people, actual people involved, because I think it's interesting to have, you know, government-owned lands, but then also have sort of private lands that are owned by something like the Land Trust, and that keeps that sort of, you know, balance, right?
It does.
There's a balance there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. So this pop-up art gallery, Matt, how did this idea come about?
Well, the Land Trust has hosted what's been called a wine pull in past years in order to get people to kind of walk through the offices and meet staff and board members and just become more informed about what the Land Trust does, because as with many nonprofits, we're interested in gathering new members and getting more people interested. Well, this year, for various regulatory reasons, we cannot have a wine pull. And so we were casting about in midsummer, late summer, wondering, you know, what kind of event could we put on for Gallery Walk? And the idea came up that our lands don't really advertise themselves, because we do keep them in a natural situation. And it might be fun, since Gallery Walk is largely an art event, to see if we could recruit some painters to make some landscapes of our properties, or properties we have conservation easements on, and hold a little art show. And at that point, it sounded like, you know, might get 10 or a dozen paintings made by some friends and friends of friends, and we'd hang them on the wall, and it would be cool. And now we're going to be hanging 30 paintings.
Juno's got a lot of artists.
We recruited 6 painters who are real good at painting on plein air, as they say, which means you're actually painting out there on site. Most of these paintings have been created since late August and at least started in a plein air situation. Some of them were finished in a studio at a later point. But the 6 artists who we really appreciate, because they just went all out to make some art for us, includes Jim Heumann, Timmy Johnson, Jane Lindsay, Pua Muanu, Patrick Rip, and Terry Gardner-Robus. And we're in the process now of putting these paintings on the walls of our offices downtown over top of the Rookery. It's at 119 Seward Street. And at 4 o'clock on Friday, we're going to open it up to the public, and we hope people come up and look at the art that shows our lands. Some of the parcels around Juneau, not all of them, and they'll be for sale. And so that's a one-night pop-up. But wait, there's more. I don't do that quite the way I should probably. But Bailey Williams, who's on the Seal Trust staff, has put all of the paintings up on a website, and that website is going to be opened up after the pop-up. And through December 20th, all of the paintings that don't sell during the initial pop-up night are going to be available for sale online. And people can see those paintings, or will be able to see those paintings after the Friday night pop-up, at the Seal Trust website, which is southeastalaskalandtrust.org, all lowercase, no punctuation. So just southeastalaskalandtrust.org, and you'll be able to see and press a button to get into where the art gallery is and see what we've got to offer and enjoy it even and hopefully buy some. And the proceeds will be divided between the artists and the land trust. But mostly it's promoting just people coming in and learning more about what the land trust is and what we do.
Yeah, to learn about it, meet the staff, look at some art and figure out which lands. And I know on the website that you mentioned, southeastalaskalandtrust.org, you can actually see the list of all of the protected lands that you all have in the trust, which is really cool. And this, the idea that these artists are helping you out and creating some content and showing off our beautiful town is really, really cool. And so that's going to be a wonderful thing. It's a great, I actually like the idea. I think it's better than a wine pole, myself. And I think it's going to be awesome. And I love that it's one night only too. Like, I mean, I love that Bailey's putting them up on the website as well, because if they don't sell people, cause then it's like a lot of the shows that open run for a month or whatever, you know? And so to be able to see them online after that, if they don't sell, and be able to access that, because some people can't make it out to Gallery Walk on Friday. So that's really cool. Thank you so much, Beth. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming in and telling us all about it. Again, it's the pop-up gallery art show at the offices of Southeast Alaska Land Trust. It's 119 Seward Street above the Rookery. It starts at 4 p.m. on this Friday, December 6th, as part of Gallery Walk. And for more information about Southeast Alaska Land Trust, go over to their website, southeastalaskalandtrust.org. Thank you so much. Goodness cheese for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Boston.
Really appreciate it. Okay, up next, our Gallery Walk preview continues with a group show opening up at the City Museum. We'll find out about it next here on Juneau Afternoon. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. Warm weather grilling is a lot of fun. Gathering with friends in a sunny backyard, cold beverage in hand. There is something, though, about donning a hat, flame-resistant gloves, and depending on where you live, possibly an umbrella for wintertime grilling. Wintertime grilling is more of a feat, a test of character, a testimony to just how much you're willing to endure for the cooking craft. Here are a few tips to get you started. Your grill should be in a sheltered location. Wind can easily snuff out your heat source, especially with a gas grill. With a charcoal grill, there is the issue of particulates. Imagine a snow globe, only ash and soot swirling around inside instead of those mesmerizing little snowflakes. Give yourself extra time to get the grill hot and extra cooking time, since cold air will pull heat from the grill. Charcoal works beautifully in winter temperatures, creating a merry glow. Avoid the desire to warm your hands over the coals, however. This isn't a Dickens novel. Keep the grill lid closed as much as possible to avoid heat loss. If you're using propane, be aware that winter temperatures can make your grill sluggish. While propane won't liquefy until it reaches negative 44 degrees Fahrenheit, pro tip, don't grill if it's negative 44 degrees out. Propane contracts in cool weather. This creates a loss of pressure, resulting in less fuel vaporizing and burning inside the grill. So start with a full tank of propane. More propane molecules crowded inside the tank means more pressure. Is wintertime grilling worth it? Put a big platter of hot, smoky salmon fillets, venison burgers, or veggie kebabs on the table some cold winter night and let us know. Find wintertime grilling tips at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short-Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
What we got is Gallery Walk happening on Friday, December 6th. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Gallery Walk is opening also at the City Museum with a new exhibit. It's titled, well, I'm going to read the long version of the title. It has a short version, but I'm going to read this long version. Terry Gardner-Robus, Timmy Johnson, and Patrick Rip. Three-body problem. Random chance and self-imposed constraints guiding three artists in pursuit of paintings. It runs through January 25th, and museum admission is free all winter long. Get all the details at juno.org/museum. I'm joined now by the aforementioned artists, Terry, Timmy, and Patrick, and Kate Ross in the background. She'll jump in and say hi in just a minute. But Gunnath Cheese Shot Yeadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio. Welcome. Wasi Iti, how's it going?
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. So, what? Tell me about this show. What happened? How did it start? What was the initial impulse of an idea to get you three working together?
So we've been working together for a long time. This particular show is 4 years worth of paintings. And we have a lengthy explanation about how it all works. Is that what
I want to hear about it. Yeah, how did you get started? What's the idea behind it?
The idea, I think, started with perhaps Timmy, who I think had the idea of having these art challenges where we would come together, bring roughly three ideas for a painting, all three of us that put them in a hat, draw three out, and then whatever came out, we had to do.
Oh, so maybe it wouldn't even be what you put in. You would have to get challenged by maybe one
Correct.
Of your... collaborators here. That's kind of cool. And then you would go off and do whatever that was. Give me an idea of what some of those challenges might have been.
So one of the challenges that is in this show is the three random ideas that came out of the hat was a credit card as the only painting tool,
okay,
a figure, so a person, the photograph had to be taken by us, and then the substrate is cardboard, and cardboard had to be part of the final element. So we had those three ideas, and they went into a hat. They came out. We painted separately, and we always get back together, and we reveal all together. So we don't see each other's work till it's all done.
Oh, and that's so fun.
So this is 9 challenges, so there will be 27 paintings, and there's going to be a lot of information at the show about each challenge has its own set of constraints, its own rules.
Who got the credit card?
Well, we all did the credit card.
All three of us.
Oh.
Yeah. So someone, was it you, Timmy, that put the credit card in the hat and then that was drawn? So all three of us had to paint with a credit card.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was confused. I was thinking you put three ideas in and each of you got one of those ideas.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So all of you had to do a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's one set of paintings.
Right.
Correct.
Right?
With
right.
just the, you're not painting or are you painting a body with the credit card?
No, we paint on a surface, on the cardboard surface.
No, I'm not painting with it. No, but she said that one of them was a body. It had to
figure.
Be a figure. A
yes.
figure. Okay.
Yes. So the
Sorry.
Whole painting was done with only a credit card. No paintbrushes, no other drawing implements. So your only painting implement is the credit card.
Mixing, too. We have to
mix
with the credit card.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's really
it's
fun.
Yeah,
kind of like
totally
a palette knife. Like
yeah.
a palette knife.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
totally
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, what I think is great about this show for artists and non-artists, but all creatives, is that not every single painting is going to be amazing because these ideas are not all yours. You have to do things that you've never done before, like paint with your non-dominant hand or do a blind contour painting where you're not looking at the object you're painting. You're only looking at your or you're not looking at your painting. You're only looking at the thing you're drawing.
Right, right, right.
And all kinds of other interesting challenges.
That's cool. When I first heard of this, I was thinking it reminded me of that thing the filmmakers did in the 90s. They was started by, I think, Danish filmmakers. Dogma 95. Do you
right.
guys remember that?
Yeah.
Celebration was one of the big movies that did that. But they had very specific sort of rules that they were following, like, in terms of that. But this sounds more like it's a challenge. That was, it's like a challenge to do different things outside of your comfort zone a little bit in terms of your art. So what did you discover by, you know, some of these challenges that you were faced with?
Well, I discovered I hated some limited palettes. We had a challenge one time. We were doing a compliment. We had to do a still life with a compliment of what the actual item was. And so it was really awful.
So in other words,
yeah.
A fruit like an orange had to be painted in the opposite color, which is blue.
Oh.
Although we may not have had blue in the palette necessarily.
Right. So, yeah, the limited palette also was a challenge. So it was just nuts.
What was a positive that you discovered?
Oh, a positive. Well, I love learning new things. So
yeah.
the new palette in this instance, when we had the compliment, it was wonderful to see that palette come out. And I actually kind of liked it then.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So sometimes we pick random colors too. Sometimes one of the challenges ideas that comes out of the hat at the get together, which we call our salons, involves randomly drawing three or four colors. And they can be anything. They don't have to go together, and you've got to figure out how to make them go together. For example, one of the challenges in this show, which is really interesting, is we each did self-portraits with no white and three dark colors. And so you just have to make it work. And it was a finger painting.
So, oh, my God.
Yeah. So, like, everybody can do a finger painting. And you don't have to be an artist to be able to do creative stuff. And it just makes your brain go to the most interesting places. And I think we've all gotten much better in our regular individual painting practices because we impose these challenges on ourselves, and it's freeing in a way. I mean, I think through constraint there is some freedom because it doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to represent who you think you are at the stage or your favorite genre or anything like that.
Yeah, there's a great phrase, the freedom within the structure, right?
Yeah.
Which is like you have rules, but then you're able to create within that. So when you do these challenges, Patrick, and then you come back to your, I don't want to say normal work, but without these constraints, do you bring some things that you learned from those challenges back into your regular work?
Yes, I'm trying to think of a good example of that, but I would say it instills more confidence in my other work because these challenges are difficult.
And sounds like
I can say, well, I did that. I can certainly do this with normal painting utensils and my normal palette of paint and a canvas and
Yeah, that's really cool. So now, Patrick, it says in the notes that you're an acrylic painter.
Correct.
Okay. And Timmy, you are primarily oil.
Yes.
Okay. But you've also expanded to include charcoal, graphite, oil, pastel, watercolor, and mixed media.
Right.
And then Terry, you also oils, but sometimes mixed with wax.
Yeah, but I also do pastel sometimes, there's all kinds of mediums I enjoy too.
Wow, that's so cool. That's so interesting. And then when you are in these challenges and you're trying to create them before you all meet at the salon, do you think, okay, well, I know Terry works in this form. I'm going to put something in there that will challenge both of them or challenge all of us to not use any of those specific things?
Yes, that has happened. Trying to think of an example.
We often put things in like you have to put an inclusion in your painting. So that can be sand or it can be sticks or paper or collage. So any medium can do that. We've had to modify a few of the challenges if one of the acrylic and the oil don't mix. For example, one of the challenges that we have up is each one of us took a former successful painting of ours. So I took a painting that I thought was successful of mine, and I did a blind contour drawing of that painting, which is a whole thing. And then I traded it to the next artist, and that was Terry.
She painted it halfway through, though.
And then Terry had to finish it. And so we all did that. And so we had to incorporate oils and acrylics because Patrick is an acrylic painter. And did you switch to oil for that challenge?
I switched for when I had part two of the challenge. I used a water-soluble oil, which plays nicely with oils. I mean, it's essentially an oil.
Yeah. Wow.
And you can paint oil over acrylic.
Yeah.
But not the other way
but
around.
But not, yeah, not the other way around.
This is awesome. Well, the results of this work is all going to be on display this Friday during Gallery Walk. It premieres Friday from 4:30 to 7 with the reception. You'll all be there. And the show then runs through January 25th. Terry Gardner-Robus, Timmy Johnson, and Patrick Ripp, three-body problem opening this Friday. I want to bring Kate down real quick and just get any other updates about the Juno Museum, the Juno Douglas City Museum. What else we got on tap, Kate? Hi.
All right. Hi. Real quick, because everyone's going to hopefully take some time off around the holidays, we will have another first Friday, January 3rd. That will be a new exhibit into our smaller community gallery. And so Olivia Raster's show will be up through the rest of December. That'll be switching over. So we'll have that first Friday. The big one next week is we have the Friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum annual meeting. And that will be Wednesday, December 11th at 5 p.m. Open to everyone. We encourage you to come check out what the Friends does, what that means, maybe become a member. And there might be some special guest performances.
Whoa.
Also. So that's always fun. So find out more about that on the website or on our social media. And then for Gallery Walk, come check out this amazing exhibit. I've seen it. These guys were working hard today and yesterday, and it's so cool to see all these different challenges and the different ways that they interpret all of them and the different parameters. And there will be a trolley stop at the Capitol building. So that is huge for people to know, especially as we might have this colder, rainier weather, is that that free trolley that goes all around downtown Juneau during Gallery Walk is going to be making a stop at the Capitol building when you can just walk right across the street over to the museum.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's really going to be fun. Make it out to Gallery Walk, see this wonderful show, Three Body Problem, Terry, Timmy, Patrick, and Kate. Thank you so much for being here today. It was a pleasure to chat with you all about this, and I look forward to seeing the show and more challenges in the future, I'm assuming.
Bring your reading glasses. There's lots of information.
Thank you,
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Gunnith Cheesh. Up next, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council expands our Gallery Walk knowledge with a rundown of what's on tap this Friday and beyond. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO, and here is this week's Tlingit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinak John Martin. And the word this week is dis.
Dis.
That means moon or month. And here's a sentence.
Dis hatuakasitishan.
We enjoy watching the moon. Let's hear it again.
Dis.
Moon or month. Gunas chish t'chune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Takdain Tan and a child of a Kaguantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gallery Walk is the annual holiday version of First Friday. It's First Friday on electrified holiday energy. We close the streets. It's got a trolley. It's over 50 locations and more. And, of course, here to help us break it down is one of the sponsors of Gallery Walk. It's Phil Hipshin from The Jack. But we also have in studio with us Christine Carpenter, who is opening a show at The Jack this Friday, which is Gallery Walk, which is so great. So, Gunnathcheesh for being here today. Welcome, both of you.
Gunnathcheesh for having us.
Gunnathcheesh.
Yeah, thanks so much. Okay, so Christine, you've been on the show before. You've been an artist around town for a long time. What's new and what's in store for this Friday?
Well, this show is a new endeavor for me. So, for the last couple of years, I've been working on making my own paints, pigments, and
what?
Inks and papers. So everything in the show will be things that I foraged from Juno and I made my own materials to make art from. And then it's really meta because it's like I harvested a lobster mushroom and then I made a pigment from it and then I painted a painting only using lobster mushroom paint.
Wow. You know, we were just talking to folks about this challenge stuff. It sounds like you just needed to challenge yourself anyway, like just yourself. You don't need a whole group. You're just doing it yourself.
I don't need a whole group. I kind of regret the, like, enormous amount of limitations that I've put on myself for this show.
Why did you do that?
Because I don't know. Masochist, I guess.
But it is interesting, though, to put yourself in that position, right? To be able to say, hey, I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it this way. Let me see what I can do if I do other things,
yeah.
Right? Is that kind of why you do that?
I think part of my, like, my journey as an artist has been really shaped by Juno and place and what place means to inspiration, to practice, to how we create, and Juno is a creative environment. And I was really interested in this idea of, like, well, could I make something literally from Juno?
Mm.
And what does that mean? And what does that look like? How does that shift the way that we look at fine art? Because none of the pigments really and the paints in the gallery are light fast. So they'll fade over time. And historically, that's meant that a painting isn't worth as much. And I am kind of trying to shift that mentality about, like, why isn't that worth as much? Why, if something that we've collected sustainably and we've made ourselves, why does that make it less valuable than something that is mass produced and created in a factory in some place that you don't know how it's made? Why is that worth more than something that you make from someplace that you love?
That's a great question to explore, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what is light fast? What does that mean?
Oh, light fast is if it is exposed to the sun, it will fade over. Well, light fast means that it won't fade over time. So when something's not light fast, it will fade over time. And it depends on each one is different. It will depend on how long it will fade. Everything in the gallery for this show is behind UV glass. So anything that you see will have that protection over it. And also, it's been in my studio for like a year, and it hasn't really faded that much. The biggest thing is you want to keep it out of direct sunlight.
Right,
which shouldn't
right.
be hard in Juno.
No,
yeah, right,
exactly.
Right.
That's why it's so colorful here in Juno.
Big bay windows, yeah. And so this your show opens this Friday. Is it reception's at 4:30?
4:30 until whenever I decide to leave or they roll me out.
Yeah.
And
and it'll be up for a month, right?
It'll be up until... Mm-hmm. Until you guys close for the holidays.
Yes, yeah. We are closed over the holidays.
Oh,
I don't have those dates hardwired in my brain just yet, but they'll be up on our website.
They'll be closed the week of Christmas.
Yeah, okay. The week.
You know better than I do.
Well, that's just because Rochelle and I just talked about it.
Yeah, right. That makes sense. And of course, where can we find you outside of The Jack? Where do you put your stuff? Is it on Instagram? Is it on your website?
I put a lot of it on Instagram. I have a website. I work under the name right now called Liaise Studio, LIAISE Studio.com.
Okay.
And
what's your Insta handle?
Liaise Studio, same.
Okay, same.
You can also find a lot of my work at Alaska Robotics. I'm married to Aaron Searing, so I get all sorts of perks at Alaska Robotics. And where else? Kendra Post carries some of my stuff, too.
Great.
Wolf Song Wellness in the Senate Mall, too. And I have a little studio. If you ever want to get a hold of me to come and check out my studio, you can go to my website and you can contact me and I'll
give you a little tour of my weird witchy lair of a studio that has all sorts of things stewing on the stove usually.
That's kind of cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, congrats on the show. It opens this Friday.
Thank you.
Phil, what else is happening besides, you know, just Gallery Walk?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, Gallery Walk is the thing, right?
It's so the thing.
Let's get into it.
It's the biggest
thing. There's so, and you said earlier, there's over 50 openings going on this Friday, so it's a lot. And I will start off by saying we're not even going to scratch the surface of it, frankly.
No.
So please go onto our website, jahc.org/gallery-walk, and you will see literally everything that Downtown Juneau has. And not just Downtown Juneau, there's a lot going on in the Valley and out at UAS, so I encourage everyone to look at Juneau very holistically.
Yeah, because this whole thing is such a big deal because it's not just the normal openings. It's other people get involved. Other stores get involved.
Yeah.
We close the street, right? We close Front Street.
Yes.
Between Franklin and Seward, right? And it's a wonderful thing. Hopefully the weather will cooperate a little bit on Friday.
A little bit, but when has rain ever stopped us?
It doesn't stop us. No, yeah. We keep going. It's a marshmallow world.
Exactly. You really cued us up for conversational success early on there.
Tell us what else is happening in terms of like this. I heard there's a trolley.
Yes. So the Jack is a great place to start off your evening. Check out Christine's show, Free Parking in the Parking Lot. And then we also have a little mini artist market in the Jack Main Hall, so you can check that out, especially if you missed a public market over the weekend. It's a good little stand-in for that. But then there is a free trolley service, and a lot of people in Juneau don't know about this. It runs every 20 minutes, and it goes around downtown to hit up all the stops. There are four places it stops in. One is the State Museum, so right across the street from us. South Franklin, down by the tram. Front and Franklin by the clock and the Capitol building. So every 20 minutes throughout the evening, completely free. I highly encourage people to utilize that because it's
and doesn't it usually have like lights on it and stuff? Isn't it like a little cool little holiday caravan?
It's a cool little holiday cheer fest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
really
cute. It's
you
cute.
You can too also go caroling on it if you want to. We encourage that.
And there's a lot going on, as you said, on Front Street between Franklin and Seward. It's closed from 4:30 to 7:30, closed to traffic, open to foot traffic. Frontier Media is providing music throughout the evening. There's going to be a jam student performance. There's going to be a Eagle Raven dance group performance, JDHS dance. Zantzler is performing. I just have a whole list right here. There's an artist market on SHI Plaza throughout the evening. So again, a really great place to shop and get some holiday gifts. And then there's a Native Youth Olympics demonstration inside in the Clan House in the Walter Soboleff building. So come check it out. It will not be a quiet evening.
No, it's always a blast.
Yeah.
Weather be darned, it's going to be a lot of fun. And now let me ask you, too, because I know this is on people's list, too, maybe didn't make it to public market. You mentioned, obviously, you're going to have your little artist market this Friday. Mm-hmm. But then when's the stocking stuffer event?
Oh, my gosh. Why
isn't
are
that
you
happening?
Asking me hard questions? It is happening. I don't have it in
Is it on
brain.
The website?
It's on the website.
Okay, but it's not this weekend.
No.
Okay, so I think it's next weekend.
That sounds correct, but don't quote me.
Yeah, I know. Look it up. But what's cool about it is because it's a sort of last chance. It's everything under $25.
Yeah.
It happens at the Jack. And is it one day or 2 days?
One day.
It's one day. Mm-hmm. So it's something to look forward to. It's one of those other additional things. And you mentioned that you're also going to be closed a little bit over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the online schedule for that at jahc.org, I'm sure. And there's no other like events happening at the Jack this. You guys do that. I think that's enough, right? Gallery Walk and
never
Stocking
enough.
Stuffer. And...
I do want to call out one event happening on First Friday that I think will be really cool. Or not First Friday, on Gallery Walk for people to check out.
Mm-hmm.
At Northwind Architects, there is a kind of, I don't even know what to call it, like public event kind of information presentation,
open house
about the Capital Civic Center and what's going on with fundraising and development for that construction project. I know there's new floor plans and new renderings that are going to be revealed. So if you're curious about how that initiative is going and want to learn more, it's a great stop to make.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really great. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you both for coming in today and telling us a little bit about it. Christine, congrats on your show.
Thank you so much.
Of course, Gallery Walk, huge event. Thank you for giving us the rundown. And as Phil said, we can't get to all of it. We're going to mention a couple other things over the next couple of days on the show. But the best place to go is jahc.org/gallery-walk, or you just go to jahc.org. There's a big Gallery Walk button right there on the homepage. You can click that. It'll take you to all the information that's available for this Friday, which is going to be awesome. It's Friday, December 6th. Phil, Christine, thank you so much, Gunnar Cheese, for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Gunnar Cheese for having us.
Up next, the Juno Artists Gallery will be on the show. We'll talk with Rachel Levy in just a few minutes. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Akbe, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Juno Artists Gallery is a co-op of artists located in the Senate Building downtown. And this month, Rachel Levy is the featured artist. Rachel is a block print artist who started making prints at this time last year. Friday is the opening, and Rachel will be at the gallery opening from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Welcome, Rachel Gunnar Cheese, for being here today. Wasiti, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Okay, so let's start with this thing that I hear that you just started doing this last year.
Yeah. I just moved here last year. I moved here last fall.
Okay.
And I came from Florida, so going into winter, I was kind of trying to figure out.
Florida to Alaska.
Yeah, that's
quite the journey.
Right. Trying to figure out what to do with myself in the winter because I'm not a skier. I can't really drive in the snow. And my mom somehow found from Florida Jim Heumann's block printing class workshop at the Makerspace. So she signed me up for that. And within like the first hour or two of it, I was pretty hooked.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about what block printing is. What is that?
Right. Yeah. So you can take, I carve out of linoleum blocks, different artists carve out of, some carve out of wood, some carve out of different types of rubber blocks. But essentially you carve your image into the block, you rub it down with ink and stamp it down, and then you kind of get a reverse image of whatever you're carving. So it's a really tactile, awesome art form.
Wow. So you take a piece of wood and you decide on an idea, an image, and then you carve that.
Right.
And then you're printing that onto what, like paper?
Right, onto paper, yeah. So I started off just printing on regular print paper, and then I got really into handmade papers that I'm working with now. I print a lot on the clothing as well. But essentially, you're carving your image. Like I said, I carve into linoleum blocks, and then the inverse of that takes the ink. So whatever you carve away becomes white space. Whatever's left on the block, you rub down with ink, and that becomes your image. So when you stamp it down on the paper, you get that reverse image.
Wow. I am so not tactile in that way. Like, it's amazing to me that you do that.
Yeah, the first couple of times it takes a couple of deep breaths because, like I said, you're working with the reverse image and the negative space of that
image. Yeah, to think about that. Like, right, how do you, like, you get an idea, let's say, I don't know, like an apple on a table, but then you have to figure out, like, okay, what needs to disappear?
Exactly.
To make that image happen.
Yeah. Yeah. The wonderful thing about it and what drew me to it, I'm a photographer. That's normally what I work in, photography and writing. What draws me to this is that it's a pretty rough art form. So you can make quite a few mistakes and it sort of adds to the piece in a cool way. I started running open carve nights and it's just kind of like, it's a cool art form for people who are interested in creating, but maybe have like issues with being a little bit too perfectionist. Well, the more you mess up here, kind of the cooler it looks.
The better, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why not? So let's talk about your journey to Alaska. Like, what brought you here?
I was a part of the Alaska Fellows Program. So I came up working on a contract with Sea Alaska Corp. As a communications fellow. I was working there for a bit, but my background is in sort of like environmental justice journalism. So right now I'm writing for the Alaska Current. I work a lot in environmental justice, and you'll see that bleeds a lot into my artwork as well. A lot of my pieces that I do focus on kind of like biodiversity, the earth, the world, everything around us. Since moving to Juneau, I've just been really inspired by the way I've gotten to know the local environment, and that shows up in a lot of my pieces for sure.
I'm imagining that if you have that interest, like moving here and being able to be a part of the world here on Klinkanani, is pretty amazing for you.
Oh, it completely changed my relationship to the environment, to place, what place-based thinking and living and inspiration even means. Like, these aren't things you grew up thinking about in Florida, you know?
Yeah.
It's a completely different approach to, you know, how you live, what resources you're using, how you're using it sustainably or with respect to the history of the place.
Wow. And so where do you think that sort of initial impulse for you started in terms of, you said you were a photographer. When did you start taking photos? Was it when you were younger?
This all started in college. I was studying environmental science. And kind of my approach to everything is, how can we make more people care about the state of the environment? And for me, it was always, you know, show them why it's amazing, you know, bring them into the environment. And not everybody has the opportunity to travel or to get outside. Those spaces aren't there for everyone. But if we can, you know, maybe show them images or write a really good story about it, or, you know, show them a really cool block print of a landscape or an animal, it might help them connect to these, you know, environments that they don't get to see on a day-to-day basis, and maybe make them care. So my photography and journalism was always sort of a call to action. Like, I just want to show you how great this world is, and maybe if we can talk about it with each other, we can care about it a little more and make it, you know, a better place.
So when you're thinking about this block print artwork and you decide, where does the initial idea come for, like, one of the carvings that you're going to do? Do you think about it, like, is it animals? Is it, what is it that you decide on first?
Yeah, you know, it's a whole host of things. When I first started, I would choose, it was a lot of animals that I'm not really doing as much anymore, but I would choose an animal I wanted to learn about that I didn't know a lot about. So I have a lot of, like, giant, you know, like, Pacific octopi that I wanted. I was like, I was really interested in this animal. So I'd start carving and, like, listen to a podcast about that animal. And then I got really into kelp. So I started doing some kelp pieces, and, you know, that was kind of how it started. And then I, you know, I have, like, a simultaneous interest in, like, nautical culture, just growing up in Florida. And that's, like, really big with my family as well. So there's a lot of, like, folklore and mythologies, you know, I like to read about and listen to and try and implement that. So you'll see, you know, like, I have a piece that's a masthead from a pirate ship, and it's, like, this really cool mermaid. And I just think, like, sailor mythologies and nautical culture, like, that is pretty awesome. And it shows up a lot in Southeast. Like, again, just getting back to inspiration coming from Juneau.
Yeah.
These are things that you just see every day and are kind of, like, seeped into my psyche at this point. But yeah, most of the inspiration is just coming from my interest in learning more about natural environments. And I know I have this interest in octopi or, you know, seals or whatever it is. I'm going to turn on a podcast. I'm going to look at them a lot. I'm going to learn about them. And I'm going to kind of meditate on them as I make this carving of them.
That's really cool. And do you ever take... Is it ever a possibility, or does it happen where two blocks become one thing? Like, do you mix and match the on the paper?
Yeah, so that's something I'm trying to get more into. There's a lot of, I'd say I'm a, like, level one block carving. There's a lot of different approaches to this, but yeah, I'm trying to work on larger pieces where I can kind of combine. Yeah, I have this vision of creating, like, an ecosystem of different blocks where they can all interplay together, but they're all sort of related to what animals are in what ecosystems. How do these animals interact together in the real world? How can I make them play together, you know, in my art and through the blocks that I'm working on?
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
How big are the blocks?
Yeah, it could be any size. I do a lot of 8x10 prints. With the open carve nights, though, I mean, I have a lot of people coming that are working on, like, 3x3 blocks. You know, you can do whatever you want with it. And I honestly think the smaller blocks are more difficult to work with.
Because it's, like, little tiny detail with the knife, right?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about these open carve nights, too. So those, you started those, and they're every other Tuesday at the Makerspace.
Yeah, it's been super wonderful. It kind of just started as a way. I just wanted my friends to get into this with me. I was making a bunch of prints, giving it to them, and they kept just being like, oh, I wish I was artistically inclined. And I was like, you know, it's really not that difficult of an art form. Like I said earlier, it's the more you mess up, the cooler it looks. So I started having a couple friends here and there. We just carved together at home, and, you know, in their place or my place. And then, you know, friends of friends got interested. So I started hosting these open carve nights, and it's really low barrier to entry. It's just $5 to get in to hold space, to cover the space for rentals. And I have lino blocks there and carving tools, and we have a pretty solid group of, you know, from 15 to 25 people who are showing up every other Tuesday now. And for most people, they're beginners. But for me, what I love about it is, you know, art. And most of what I do is just all community-based. Like, I just am really interested in being part of and building community. And that's why I love the Juno Artist Gallery. That's an artist co-op. That's, you know, where I'm selling my art as well. To me, it's a waste to do art alone from my perspective. Like, I want to bring people in and you know, share with them what I know, and then I end up learning from them as well. So these open carve nights have really just been a really awesome communal space to come, get together. Everybody has totally different skill levels. They have totally different styles. But we've all just sort of been able to bond over getting messy and getting all inked up. And it's just a really tactile experience. And you're there and you don't see a single phone in sight. Like, it's just such a cool 2 hours that we have every other week together.
That's so nice. And you can find out more about that on the Makerspace website, I'm imagining.
Yeah, so there's info there. I think on the Jack community calendar too, okay. It's up there. But yeah, it's every other Tuesday. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And the idea that you have, are you posting your work online now?
No, I am not. So my work is at the Juno Artist Gallery. That's sort of the only place. My winter goal is maybe to get it online in some capacity. But
I mean, if you just started a year, I mean, you've started this all a year ago, and you moved here a year ago, or a little bit more than a year ago, but you've already done so much, Rachel. Like, it's amazing how integrated you are to the community already. And how did you find Juno Artist Gallery?
Honestly, just walking around town, that was one of my favorite spots because I felt like there's such a diversity of artists in there mm-hmm. that just the first couple months I was here, I was really drawn to the space. I didn't really know that it was a co-op. And then just, you know, through the model that they have, the artists are, it's a different artist working there every day. So I was in there one day. One of the artists was just talking to me about what she does, what the gallery does, and how they're always looking for new artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of by stroke of luck had that conversation with her and got involved with them. And it's been such a wonderful group. As a new artist, I had no idea how to package my art, how to, you know, display it on a wall, how to, I don't even know, how to sign it correctly, you know? And it's just such a supportive group of people over there who truly just, like, for the love of art are creating. And, you know, it's been a really wonderful group to be part of.
And you'll be there this Friday from 4:30 to 7:30?
Yes,
correct. As the show sort of features some of your work.
Totally, yeah.
We'll see a lot of these block prints on the wall. Any of your photography will be part of it, or
no,
mostly
no
just the block print?
Okay, yeah, just the block prints, yeah.
That's really awesome. It's so wonderful to meet you. Welcome to Juno.
Thanks.
Rachel Levy, who will be part of the Juno Artist Gallery, well, is part of the Juno Artist Gallery, and will be the featured artist this month with an opening this Friday from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. You can find out more at junoartistgallery.org. Is there anywhere we can follow you online?
I am offline.
Offline. So. All about the environment. Put down that phone and get to it. I really appreciate that. That's so good. Thank you so much for being here, Rachel. It was a pleasure to meet you and break a leg on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, I wanted to just reiterate the open carve nights. Did you do it this Tuesday?
It'll be coming up this
Tuesday. So Tuesday I think that's the 10th.
Yeah, I think
so. Tuesday the 10th is the next one. And what time do those happen at?
6 to 8 p.m. at the Makerspace.
6 to 8 p.m. at the Makerspace. That's so good. Awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel. Good to cheese for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
That will do it for us today at Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, the State Museum opens their solo exhibits this Friday. Author Bailey Williams on her book, Hollow, A Memoir of My Body in the Marines, and the Grateful Dogs of Juno Pet Food Drive is happening soon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp and Lisa Purvis. Gunith Cheesh.